If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through to 25. Romans 7, 7 through to 25. This is one of those passages that you've constantly got to work at who's saying what and pause in the right places and make it sound right. In your head as you read it, it can sound a little bit confusing at times, but I'll try. Hopefully to read it clearly for you. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do. I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin.
Thanks, Sue. Try saying that really quickly. Good evening. The kids got back from the youth weekend and Luke, our eldest, went on his first youth weekend and he loved it. But I've got to say, about 2 miles in, we knew that he was on his way home when he was about 2 miles away because we could smell him. He needs a hot bath now. Okay, we're going to talk tonight about the law. We're in the last part of the Romans sermon series, and we're talking from and pulling from Romans 7. And we're going to talk, when I was kind of going through this and studying it and asking God, what do you want from this message? What do you want from tonight to tell. the word awareness came to me. So we're going to look at awareness, we're going to look at the law, and we're going to look at how we can get an advantage from using the old law. So as we're talking about laws, I got a couple of worldwide laws, okay? And they're a bit wacky, but in France, it's against the law to sell an ET doll. Did you know that? No? Hard crowd. You're not allowed to sell a doll that has an ET face because it's illegal actually to sell any dolls that don't have a human face. The second one I've got, my wife loves. In Samoa, it's illegal to forget your wife's birthday. So I would have spent 18 years in prison over there. Two wacky ones. In London, it's illegal to flag down a taxi if you have the plague. So if ever you're in that situation, call the ambulance. In Texas, it's illegal to sell your eye. There must be a lot of one-eyed people in Texas to have to produce a law that says that. And this is my favourite one, the last one, and I think it should be a worldwide law. In Massachusetts, a person could be fined up to $200 for denying the existence of God. That's a good law, isn't it? That's a good law. Now, I'm guessing most of people here, most of you guys, would probably have been unaware of these laws. But awareness, particularly in our spiritual journey with God, is really, really important. To know how our relationship is with God. How well are we doing with God? How close are we to God? How much do we listen to God? To be aware of all these things is really, really important. And the definition of awareness is up there. It's a knowledge or perception of a situation. Okay? I can be quite unaware, a little bit naive, some will say sometimes. I remember when I first started, I'm a hairdresser, when I first started, got my first job in a salon for £24.50 a week. Okay? And I was an apprentice, and I was unaware of the unwritten rule, because this was my first real job, that you've got to make the new guy look a bit of an idiot on the first day. So the boss comes up to me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he says, Jason, I've got these two bags of air, okay, two big bin liners of used air. And he says, we have a deal with the salon across the other side of Preston that we give them our trash 1 week and they dispose of it. And the next week, we dispose of theirs. So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I walked down to the salon. And the worst part of it was the guy that I went into, the salon that he told me to go to, didn't have a clue about this arrangement. So I walked into this salon with two used bags of hair, plopped them down there and said, see you next week. And the guy just, well, how we laughed. But I was unaware, had I have been aware that there was going to be a bit of joking and a few things like that going on my first day, I maybe wouldn't have actually have gone through with it. But we can go through our life sometimes being completely unaware of stuff. You know, we can be completely unaware that we're doing stuff that isn't quite right with God. You know, a little bit of gossip here and there, and you're kind of not fully aware that you're doing it because it just comes naturally. You know, you can maybe be a bit jealous of somebody. You can maybe be a bit career focused or money focused. And not quite be aware of it. And what Paul tries to deal with here, just a little bit of background on what Paul is dealing with here in chapter 7 in Romans. Paul had three reasons to write this particular book to the Romans. The first was to explain his theology. The second was because he was going to Spain, or had planned a trip to go to Spain. And he maybe wanted them to get to know him a little bit. And the third reason was because there'd been a bit of a divide within the Roman church. And what had happened was, 8 years previous to Paul writing this, 8 or 9 years previous to Paul writing this letter, the Emperor Claudius in Rome had expelled all Jews from Rome. He'd told all Jewish people must leave Rome. So when Paul writes this 8 years later, that decree had faded a bit and Jewish Christians were coming back into the Roman church. But in that 8 year period, the Gentile Christians, the kind of new Christians, the ones that have been brought up through the freedom in Christ Christians, had taken over the leadership of the Roman church because there was nobody else there. And then the Jewish Christians are coming back in and they've been fed on the Old Testament law, the things that they should do and that they shouldn't do. And there's a bit of a divide between the two newer kind of Christians and the more maturer Christians, or the Jewish Christians. There's that divide. So Paul tries to deal with it in this particular piece of scripture in chapter 7. Before we've read, Paul has said, okay, guys, let me start with this. Okay? Let me start with this. The law, you are no longer bound to it. You are no longer bound to the law. Okay? He tells them, the law, what it did to me, it made me sin. He tells them that the law made me realize how bad I am. The law leads me and points me to death. Okay? But then he says how bad the law is. He tells us that it's bad, that it's that it makes him feel bad, that it points him to death. But then when we pick up the scripture here that Sue's just read, he kind of says, but wait a minute, although all that stuff is there, do you know what? The law is actually good. In fact, he says not only it's good, it's righteous, and it's holy. So you're kind of left thinking, you know what? You've just told us that the law is making us mess up, that the law can't save us, that the law leads to death. But then on the next part, you're telling us that actually the law is good, the law is righteous, and the law is holy. It doesn't make sense. Park that. I'm not a tidy person. Okay? Well, not as tidy as my wife is, I should say. But occasionally, I will try and surprise her. Now, guys, I'm sure you have done this in the past, where you try. We all try to earn brownie points with our wives. Okay? It's a fact. And I will try to earn brownie points with my wife if she nips out for 20 minutes or something and think, right, I'm going to do an express clean. Right? I'm going to do what my wife takes 3 hours doing in 20 minutes. Because I'm a man. Right? So I will run around. I won't touch upstairs because I'm trying to earn brownie points and she can't see upstairs when she comes in. She can only see downstairs. Okay? So we've got a hallway, we've got a kitchen, we've got a front room, and we've got a kids' room downstairs. So I'm tidying up and I'm running around like crazy. And I will always come up and find something where I have no idea where it goes. Okay? I'm sure we've all been there. I have no idea where this goes. I'm on an express clean. I'm on a time limit here. Right, I'll put it in the kids' playroom. Throw it in there. So I'm running around, bouncing around, Anything I can't find where it goes, I'll put it in this room. I'll throw it in the kids' room and I'll sort it out later. Then Lorraine comes home. And as she opens the door and sees a nice hallway, brownie points are ticking in her eyes. I can see them. Then she goes in the kitchen, more brownie points. And then she gets to the front room, and I'm on a winner here. And then she opens the kids' room, and she just sees all this stuff that I've thrown in there, and the brownie points just disappear, and I've wasted 20 minutes of my life. But imagine if we had a room like that. Imagine if we had a room where the only thing wrong with it is the light bulb doesn't work. Okay? So, well, whenever we're tidying up, if we come across something that we don't know where it goes, some people may have a room like this, we throw it in there. Okay? So we have 6 months, and every time we've tidied up, we're picking up the stuff that we don't know where it goes, and we're throwing it in that room. And we keep throwing it in that room, and a year goes by, and then 2 years, and then 5 years, then 10 years goes by, and it's great. Then one day, we actually get to fixing the light bulb in that room. And we switch on the light bulb, and it reveals this huge mess. It's a massive, massive mess. And we would feel quite a few emotions at this point. We would feel maybe frustrated that we'd let it get to this state. We would feel disappointed in ourselves for just letting it get like that. One emotion that we wouldn't actually feel would be to blame the light bulb. We wouldn't blame the light bulb because the light bulb has only shone light into the room and shown us just what a mess our room really is. The light bulb can shine the light into the room and show us the mess, but the light bulb can't clear it up. And Paul tells the Roman church, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law." Paul tells them the law is not bad. The law simply shines a light. It illuminates it. It makes us aware of the mess that our room really is in. So you have the law, and then you have us. And Paul says the law's here, and I'm here. And the law can't do anything for me. And I do the things that I don't want to do. And I can't stand it because the law's not going to change me. And all it's doing is reminding me of just what a mess I really am. And I don't know what I can do, what a wretched man I am. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The law's not changed. The law's still there. We've not changed. We're still here with that virus of sin in us. But thanks to Jesus Christ, we now have that liquid gold Holy Spirit flowing through us. And because of that Spirit flowing through us, thanks to Jesus, we are changed. Because now the law's there and we're here. And yes, we have that stain of sin, but we've also got the liquid gold Spirit of God in us. And that liquid gold Spirit of God can help us. It's a magical thing. But that's when the battle begins, really. Because Paul talks in Galatians about how we should walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Paul tells us in Galatians, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other." Paul's saying, we've got sin in us, we had sin in us, now we've got this pouring out of the Spirit that's in us as well, But when they meet, ever tried to put two magnets together in the opposite way? You can't do it. They just don't go together. They constantly battle inside us. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So how can the law that Paul's described help us in this battle? What if you were an army and you're trying to stop an enemy advancing, and you're based dead center of a big field that's surrounded by mountains, okay? You have no idea where that enemy is going to strike. So the chances of you actually surviving an attack are very slim, unless you are really, really lucky. But what if you were an army that was in the same situation, but you had intelligence? You knew where the enemy was going to attack. That's powerful knowledge. Because if you have that information, you can prepare for the attack because you know where it's coming from. And you can even reply to the attack. The law gives us intelligence. The law makes us aware of the stuff that's in our room. But if we scan our rooms, we will find that there's probably a lot of something in there. We can identify just how much and identify what it is. We can identify where the attack is coming from. The law reveals the mess that we're fighting and the fact that we're in a crisis. I've got a John F. Kennedy quote here. The Chinese use two brush strokes to write the word crisis. One brush stroke stands for danger, the other for opportunity. In a crisis, be aware of the danger, but recognize the opportunity. God tonight is asking, what's in your room? What is in your room? When that light, the light of that law switches onto you, what's in your room? Is it a box full of jealousy? Maybe a boxes of addiction. It may be boxes of idolizing things like money or career. Boxes of laziness. What is in your box tonight? Because God has given us the tool to be aware of what is in our box. God doesn't want you this evening to go away defeated. He doesn't want that. But he does want you to know that everybody in this room has something in their room. Because we don't come to church because we're goody goodies, we come to church because we're baddie baddies. But God wants you to be aware tonight of what is in your box. And you don't feel like you've let him down because you don't let him down. You can't let him down because you don't lift him up, he lifts you up. Because when we are aware individually of what's in our room, we gain a massive advantage in our own personal and spiritual growth. When we know what's in our room, we know where the enemy is going to attack, and we can prepare for that. And we fight because we've been freed. And we want to stay free. And we fight because it's in our spiritual interest. And we fight because it's our spiritual instinct to fight this. We fight because God has some great plans for us, and we want to be a part of that. We fight because we follow the greatest role model that anyone could ever have. That's Jesus. We fight with the advantage of knowing where to take our battle, thanks to the law that makes us aware of it. But we fight with the knowledge that we fight a battle that we've already won. Because we know that when it comes to the end for us, there's still going to be some boxes in that room. But Jesus will take them away. That is powerful, life-changing, and God-pleasing. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you're a God that loves us, first and foremost. We thank you that you're a God that strengthens us. We thank you that you're a God that released us from the law, Father. But we also thank you for the law, Lord. And we pray that we'll use that advantage of being able to be aware of where our weaknesses are. Lord, we just want to praise you. We want to get closer to you. And we know that as we battle, Lord, you mold us, Father. And as we battle, we come closer and closer to you, Father. We praise you and pray that our awareness will really, really have an impact on us tonight. In your mighty name, amen.